And in the last days it shall come to pass, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh.
And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old shall dream dreams, and your young shall see visions.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place.
And suddenly a sound came from heaven, like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting.
And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each of them.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Before we sing Holy Spirit, I want you to pray with me. Almighty God, here we stand, gathered in the name of your Son, Jesus. We cry out to you, God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Transform our hearts and make us from people who are like rowboats working by our own efforts to become sailboats as we unfurl our sails right now and we await the wind of your Holy Spirit. We cry out to you, God, to make us pure, to make us one in Christ by the power of your Holy Spirit and make us holy as a church right now, Lord. And that you would speak the language of our hearts with the tongues of the gospel through your Holy Spirit. That the gospel will be good news for us in our own language, in our heart, and in our lives. That it would translate into good news that we can put into action and to share Christ with others today and every day. In Jesus' name. So come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Today, come on down. Hi, Briley.
Good morning. Yeah. Well, you know what? Hello. Gene?
Go ahead.
You know what today? Special
day today is? There we go. Besides Sunday and Sunday school and church, today is Pentecost.
Pentecost.
Yeah, it's a special day, Pentecost. And what Pentecost is, it's the 50th day after Easter. And it commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit into the disciples. And it's kind of considered, Pastor said this a little while ago, it's like the birth of the church. And what happened on this day, the start of Pentecost, was the disciples were all gathered around, and they were all together, and they were meeting and talking, and all of a sudden, a wind started, and it started getting louder and stronger and louder, almost to the point that it was like a train coming through your living room. It was so loud, and it was terrifying to them. And all of a sudden, it was the Holy Spirit that came into the disciples. And with that, they had a power that they did not have before. And they could do things that they could not do before. And they could talk. They could preach and teach about Jesus in different languages. That's kind of hard for us to understand. And what I did this morning, I brought a little flashlight. Now, this is just a real little flashlight. It's not very big. But when I turn it on, it provides, look at that, it provides a strong beam if I put that in your eyes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And flashlights, we all have flashlights at home, don't we? And they're important to us because if the power goes out, they'll provide light for us. If there's something deep back in your closet and you can't see very well, you might get a flashlight. So they have special uses. Now, what powers the flashlight?
Power?
Yeah, what makes the flashlight work? Jack?
Batteries.
Batteries. Well, that's kind of like the Holy Spirit. The battery's in there, but we can't see it.
No.
The Holy Spirit's in us. We can't see it. The battery powers that flashlight. And the Holy Spirit in each one of us empowers us to do anything that we want and to do great things. In fact, Jesus had said, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And that's the same power that the Holy Spirit provides in each one of us to allow us to go forward and do good deeds and good things and do anything that we put our mind to. Let's say an echo prayer, okay? Okay. Father, thank you that you have sent us the power of the Holy Spirit. And please fill us up each day with the Holy Spirit. That we would have the power to live for Jesus. And let his light shine in our lives. Amen. Good job.
Remain standing for the reading of our scripture for today.
The gospel lesson this morning is from Romans, the first chapter, verses 1 through 17. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness that without ceasing I remember you always in my prayers, asking that by God's will I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. For I am longing to see you so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith, by faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. So ends the reading.
You may be seated. Thank you, Angie. This is the word of God for we the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. So all summer long, we are going to be in the letter to the Romans from Paul. It is one of the most monumental pieces of scripture. There has probably been more commentaries and more ink spilled on this particular book in the New Testament than any other. The book of Romans has inspired people who became great Christian leaders. People like St. Augustine, who was a Christian, but he wasn't yet had that relationship, like you said. He was kind of going through the motions, and he was actually trying to go into the ministry, but he was plagued with doubts and with guilt and fear and shame from his life of waywardness and lust and sexual immorality. And there was this one day where he heard a voice. He saw a child. And it was saying, "Tolelege, tolelege," which means take up and read. And he went to read the scriptures. And where was it? It was in Romans. And he read this scripture from Romans, and it changed his life. It brought him conviction. And he realized that in that moment, God changed him. That God spoke a truth to him from the book of Romans about what he needs to do in his life. And he went on to become one of the greatest church fathers during the patristic era and contributed to the development of Western philosophy. Fast forward years later, Martin Luther, who was a Catholic priest, was teaching at a Catholic seminary in Germany. And he was studying and teaching the book of Romans. And he wrote a preface and did commentary on the book of Romans. And it was that work in the book of Romans that led him to make that decision because of his conviction of the righteousness of God that comes through faith, not through works, but through faith, that caused him to write up the 95 Theses and to go up and protest and nail it to the church doors of the Catholic cathedral, thus starting the Reformation that changed Western civilization. Fast forward years later, and the founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, after having a failed missionary attempt in America, came back to England. And he went rather unwillingly to a gathering on Aldersgate Street in London. And they were reading from Luther's preface to the Romans. And as he heard it, he felt his heart strangely warmed, and he realized that God loved him, that Christ died for him and for his sins, and it changed his life. And there wouldn't be a Methodist movement if it wasn't for that time in Aldersgate where Wesley heard a reading from Romans. Romans has sparked movements in the life of the church. And my prayer is that as we study the book of Romans, it's going to spark a movement of the Holy Spirit in us as we learn about the power of the gospel and we live out in the power of the gospel. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, that's why the book of Romans is so important. And Romans is a letter that Paul is writing to people he's never met, Christians in Rome. Paul hasn't been to Rome yet. At this time, he would have been on his third missionary journey, as recorded in the book of Acts. He probably was writing it either from Ephesus or from Corinth. And Paul, these people have never met Paul. And so Paul is writing them a letter to let them know who he is and what he's all about. And since they haven't met him, he can't just lord his authority over them as an apostle like he does with the Galatians, who he worked with personally, or the Ephesians or the Philippians. So he has to be very careful about what he says. So look at verse 1. Right there, he says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." That's his credentials. He's Paul, a servant. The word in Greek is doulos, which means servant or bondservant or slave. He is a slave of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ calls the shots in his life. That he does nothing without Jesus telling him to do so. And he's called to be an apostle. That is, he is sent on a mission with a message. And he is set apart for the gospel or the good news of God. The gospel that was promised beforehand through God's prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And who's the gospel about? It's about God's Son, Jesus Christ. And his credentials are, he came, he fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. He came in the flesh, he was a descendant of David. And he was declared to be the Son of God through his resurrection, which was by the Spirit of Holiness, or the Holy Spirit. That is the good news. That's his introduction. It's all about Christ. And through Christ, he says, we,
not just he and his churches that he's been with, but you, the Christians in Rome, have received grace and apostleship. That is, you've been given this gift, and now you're being sent to share this holy message. And what's the purpose? This is the purpose of the whole book. He's writing this letter for us and for them to bring about the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith among all the Gentiles. This is different. The early church started with Jewish Christians. But Paul is sent to be among all the non-Jews, all the cultural outsiders, the people who weren't inside the church. That's who he's sent to. Paul has been sent to the margins of society. And he comes to bring the real gospel. Not the good news of Caesar bringing peace through the military might and through martial law, but the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Amen? Amen. For the sake of his name, including yourselves, and here he says, you are called to belong to Jesus Christ, just like Paul. That's the same for us. As we read the book of Romans, remember this. It's to bring about the obedience of faith in our lives, in our words, in our deeds, in our actions, in our relationships. And as we study the book of Romans, remember that you are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And so he says, to all God's beloved in Rome, and I would say even to us, because Rome was the center of his world, the center of the empire. To all God's beloved who are called to be saints, that is, who are called to be holy and set apart for Jesus, just like Paul. Just like Jesus told his disciples and taught them that you can do what I'm doing. Paul is saying the same thing to the Romans and to us. That you are called to belong to Jesus Christ just like me. You are called and sent to carry this message of good news of Jesus Christ just like me. And you are called to be set apart and holy for Jesus Christ just like I have been called. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You are called and sent out to share this good news through the testimony of how God is at work in your life, by sharing those stories of healing, by sharing your joys, by showing gratitude, by showing mercy for those in need, by telling people what Jesus has done for you and can do for them. Yes, friends, we are called and sent just like Paul and just like the Romans. Now jump down. Jump down to verse 16 and 17. Because this is Paul's purpose statement. This unpacks the beginning of what's going to be the whole rest of the letter. That the gospel in the book of Romans, in this letter, it's about the power of the gospel. And that's what we're focusing on all summer. Is we are going to discover and celebrate the power of the good news of Jesus Christ. The power of God to save. Let's read this together. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. This passage has had so much ink and so many interpretations of it because this was spoken and written and recorded and sent in Greek, which has a lot more nuance than English or even Latin. And as I did the work of digging into this and looking at the Greek and looking at English, I realized quickly there's more than one way to skin a cat, right? And so on Facebook, I sent a survey out, and I'd never done this before. And I asked people about this one particular word, that word righteousness, which in Greek it's called dikaiosune. Dikaiosune. That the gospel is the power of God. The Greek for power is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. It's explosive. It's catalytic. It causes a change. Things aren't the same. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone, to all of us who have faith. Not just for the Jew, but it's for the Jew first, because God promised them first, but also to the Greek or to the non-Jew, to you and I. For in the gospel, the righteousness or the dikaiosune of God is revealed for all who believe or all who trust or all who have faith in Christ. That word righteousness in the Greek can mean righteousness, but it also has a meaning of justice. That in it, all the wrongs of the world will be made right by our God. That everything that Jesus did for us, lived and died and was raised for us, made right all the wrongs and the sin that would happen in our world. Jesus took upon himself all the sins of the world. It says in Corinthians that he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become his righteousness. So that we might become God's righteousness. That we might be in right relationship with God. Right relationship with ourselves, right relationship with others, and right relationship even with creation, as we're going to find out in Romans. Righteousness. But sometimes we hear that word righteousness. Doesn't that make you think about people who are self-righteous, right? Where they act like they have it all together. So sometimes that word can rub people the wrong way. And justice. That speaks to many people, but sometimes we think of justice as being like retributive justice. Or a criminal is tried in court and then they're punished. And so sometimes justice can seem harsh. But there's another word, there's another meaning, a nuance of that word dikaiosune that I found. And it really spoke to me in my life. And as I talked to some other people this week on Facebook, this word integrity, that the gospel reveals the integrity of God. That God's word and God's deed are one and the same. Now, does that appeal to you? Not only the righteousness of God, that God makes things right, that God brings justice, but also the gospel reveals the true nature, the character of God. Think about your life. What does it mean for you to have integrity? What does it mean for you to be in right relationship with yourself, with God, and with others? We see a lot of lack of integrity in our world, don't we? We see people who can't keep their promises. People who say one thing and do another. We see a lot of hypocrisy, especially in the church. But the gospel reveals it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who trusts and has faith. And it reveals this righteousness, this justice, and this integrity of God. Now, we're called not just to share the gospel, but we're called to live it out. Amen? Amen. We're called to be the gospel. So when we live out the gospel in our relationships, in our lives, at home and at work, in our community, it's going to reveal our integrity. Because our integrity is a gift from God in Christ. Amen? That the gospel reveals the integrity, the justice, the righteousness of God. And so people need to see God's integrity in us, in you and I. And that's what the gospel, through the Holy Spirit, through the person of Jesus Christ, can do in our lives. That he can bring everything into alignment so that we not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Amen? Amen. So I hope you're not ashamed of the gospel because it reveals the righteousness of God. Through faithfulness, through trusting in God and living your life as though everything God has promised has come true and is real. And so others can see that and they want to hear more of that good news. So we're going to talk about faithfulness and the righteousness of God. Because the book of Romans reveals the righteousness of God. And the gospel reveals the righteousness of God, and the gospel makes a new humanity out of us. It makes us into a new person in Christ. And it also shows that God keeps his promises, especially to Israel. And the gospel is going to make us the church as well, as we're going to find out through this summer. So what about you? What kind of power is the gospel making in your life? What kind of dynamic force is Jesus making for you? Is there a lack of power in your life? Are you stuck? Have you been rowing with the rowboat instead of unfurling the sails and letting the wind of the Holy Spirit push you forward? My prayer for you today is that you will experience this week the power of the gospel to save, to set you free, to give you hope, to restore, to reclaim, to give you momentum, to give you confidence, to help you to be faithful, because God is faithful and God loves you, because he sent Jesus to save us. He lived and died and was raised for us. So I hope this week that you will live with confidence and boldness and to be faithful and not ashamed of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Amen. Is Angie here? Angie Briggs? Or is she back in the nursery? She's back in the nursery. Okay. Well, Angie's going to camp this summer. And so I want us to just, let's pray. Angie can hear us. God, we thank you for Angie and for her ministry with children. We pray that you would bless her and keep her as she is called and sent to bear the good news wherever she goes, and especially at Girl Scout camp. So we pray for your blessings and for your peace in Jesus' name for her, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace as you trust in Christ, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.